set of documents here. These are the original charter reporter that I'm giving to you.
Okay.
So we're reconvening our hearing. It's now 7:53. And I will turn this, make for the record, Mr. Crist has handed up some exhibits for the board. I'll turn it over to Mr. Nelson again.
Mr. Crist?
I'm going to call as my this is Jonathan Crist. I'm representing Mary Beth Backenstos. And I'm going to be calling Mary Beth Backenstos as my first witness.
Ma'am, would you raise your right hand to be sworn? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Thank you.
Mary, would you state your full name for the record, please?
Mary Elizabeth Backenstos.
And what is your professional address?
218 West Governor Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And what is that property?
That property is an office building, used to be the home of many different families up until the time it became an office building, about in the 1960s, I think.
All right. That's when your father acquired it?
Yes, my father purchased it from, I think, from Hershey Estates.
Okay.
At the time, I think so.
All right. The property that you own, and could we have slide number 2? Can you blow that up a little bit? There we go. For historic purposes, this is the property that you currently practice out of, correct?
Yes.
You still work on that today. That's an active office building, and you use it today.
Yes.
You also rent it out to other tenants. Is that correct?
Yes.
How long have you owned that property?
Since 2007.
And how did you acquire that property?
I purchased it at public auction, one of the auctions from my father's estate. That's how we did things in our family. And I was the high bidder.
According to, there's a website that has the history of that building, is there not?
Yes.
Do you know who wrote that website?
No.
Does Chris Hocker mean anything to you?
That would be one of the Hockers, but I didn't know that. So.
That property was originally built, do you know who built that property?
Martin Hocker.
And he's the founder of Hocker Stuff?
Yes.
Do you know when that picture was taken?
Probably, I guess, in the mid-1800s.
According to the Hocker website, that's 1896. That's what
1896, okay.
Do you know how big that building is?
4,600 square feet.
All right. And that's all stone construction, right?
Yes.
Other than the little thing that got added on later on when your father had it as an office, right?
Yes, so that was there. He did not add that on. That was there when he purchased it.
Oh, okay. I thought you... do you know what Chris Hocker is? Do you know... She's an author, right?
I do not know.
Oh, okay.
I do not know.
You grew up in Hershey, did you not?
Yes, born and raised.
Did you go to Hershey High School?
Yes.
Graduated from there?
Yes.
How about Hershey Junior College?
Yes.
And you have a professional degree, do you not?
Yes.
And you're currently licensed professional?
Yes.
What are your licenses? What do you practice?
I have a degree from Cornell University in nursing, a master's degree from the University of Maryland in psychiatric nursing, and 2 years of postgraduate education in family systems theory and family psychotherapy from Georgetown University.
And you currently practice as a family therapist?
Yes.
And you're still practicing today?
Yes.
Where did you grow up? Where was the house that you grew up in?
731 Sand Hill Road.
Is that house still existing today?
Yes, it is, and it is the home of my sister and her family.
Just for the record, that's right around the corner from this proposed development,
yes,
is it not?
Yes, just up Sand Hill Road, 731.
Right. That used to be called Middletown Road, did it?
Yes.
The area that they are proposing to develop, do you know what that used to be back when you were growing up?
Don's Pier?
Well, before the actual...
It was a baseball diamond for kids to play on. Well, it was a field.
Wasn't that an orchard there?
Oh, Pop's Orchard would have been a little bit further north, wouldn't it?
Isn't that the area where that... And isn't that why the streets are called Hurt Cherry and Peach? Because that's where the orchard was.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So this is where... This area was an orchard. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was a farm, right? When you were growing up.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And it had a barn. And do you know where the barn was for that, Hody? That barn still exists today, right?
Yeah.
And what is that barn today?
It's part of the nursing home there, isn't it?
That is the theater.
The Hershey Theater, yeah.
Barn was converted into the theater.
Yeah.
That's what this was all just farmland.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And when you were growing up, did you get a chance to grow up in this area and enjoy this farmland?
I certainly did. I was fortunate enough to have a horse when I was growing up, and I rode my horse all through all of that land like I was in the Kentucky Derby. Yeah.
And where the Hershey Medical Center is today, did you actually get to ride where the Hershey Medical Center is?
I did.
Now, do you recall when they actually started to build the Hershey Medical Center?
I think it was in 1966?
About so.
Yeah, in the 1960s, early 60s. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know when the Hershey Medical Center actually opened its doors and took in its first patient?
I wanted to object.
Wasn't it 66?
Hold on a second. Yes.
I'm just not sure. Obviously, a lot has changed since the 1890s when this picture apparently was taken. We understand that. I just don't see the relevance with respect to the application that's pending before the board. When the Hershey Medical Center was built is not relevant to the application.
Well, I'm just trying to give a little background here.
We understand, Mr. Chris, but if you could please... We understand the history, we understand, you know... But I think if we could move this forward quickly.
Well, let me ask you this way. When the clinic went, your father was the doctor here in Hershey, was he not?
He was. He owned 7 family practice physicians, yes.
Okay. He practiced at the location that you have?
Yes.
All right. When the Hershey Medical Center opened, he got privileges then at Hershey Medical?
He did not because he was the only private practice doctor that did not join the Hershey Medical staff.
All right.
He stayed on his own.
When Hershey was given the property, they were not given the property along Cherry Drive, that strip along Cherry Drive where the clinics are and Hope Drive are, was it?
I don't know that for a fact. I don't think so.
All right. Do you recall when Hershey bought that additional property?
No.
Hershey Med bought that property?
I do not.
No. Or when the clinics were done?
No, they were done subsequent, one by one. No.
Over time.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Having grown up in this area, been in this area all your life, the property that you own is located at Fishburne Road, correct?
Yes.
From where the light is at Fishburne Road now, at Governor Fishburne Road, to the light at the Giant, that portion of Fishburne Road, has that changed in the last 60 years? Is that the same property? The road has always been for the last 60 years.
It absolutely has changed, of course.
In what sense?
Well, the traffic has increased tremendously.
What I meant is, has the road been widened, modernized, or is it the same road it was 60 years ago?
Well, it's the same road. It has not been widened.
Modernized or anything else in 60 years?
I don't think so.
All right. How about Sandhill Road, or what used to be called Middletown Road? from where it comes out now to where your house was, that portion of...
Has that been changed
in 60 years?
It has not been changed.
How about Cherry Drive? Has that been changed in 60 years?
I don't think so, but I don't really pay attention to Cherry that much. But not that much.
These were all country roads when all this was a field.
Right.
And the roads haven't been modernized since that time.
Right.
Now let's, could I have a slide number 60, please? Let's talk about your building. What it looks like today.
Is there a clicker thing?
Mr. Crist, just for the sake of the record, if you could refer to your exhibits by the exhibit numbers, so we don't know what slide is what, and any reviewing courts would have absolutely no idea what you're referring to.
I had put that picture into evidence, I thought, before.
You have, and it's been marked to be two.
But I don't remember what number that is at this point.
I believe it is back in stone one.
Okay. Is that what your property looks like today?
Yes.
All right. Where are we at? I got the wrong button. What do I? There it is. Just for the record, you were here when Eric Stump testified, correct?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Stump testified that your driveway, at least according to him, was 150 feet from the had a Q lane or 150 feet to the middle of your driveway.
Uh-huh.
You agree with that?
No.
What do you actually have from the line to the Q line to your driveway? What does that actually come out to be?
75 feet.
When you sit, and I want to verify this. When you were standing in, can I get this to work? When you're standing there in the center driveway looking across towards Carnes,
uh-huh.
Where do you line up with? What do you line up with?
Sort of the entrance for the fruit market.
Yeah, go through the fruit market, and you come over to Carnes. Where do you end up at Carnes?
On the right-hand side, or looking at it?
Could I have 829? What was admitted is that I have it as 59 on my exhibits, but you have it as 829. You will note that it says Cherry Drive, northbound right for a stack lane of 75 feet. You see that? Why can't I get this to work? Where am I? Where is it?
Over there.
I don't see it. Oh, there it is. All right. All right. 70, they have Cherry Drive at 75 feet. Northbound, that's what the stack lane is, or Q lane is in Cherry Drive going northbound from the Carnes, right?
Uh-huh.
They claim that you have 150 feet.
Uh-huh.
Now, you don't agree with that 150 feet, do you?
No.
You said you only got 75.
Right.
Could I have the slide number 16? We have established, based upon the prior exhibit, that what they've got at Cherry is 75 feet to there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that lines right up with your driveway, does it? That's you. That was all the same. Built the same, wasn't it?
Yes.
So really what you've got is the 75 feet that you claim is there.
Mm-hmm.
Lines right up with the 75 feet they say is there.
Right.
So are you... Let's talk about the traffic problems that you have at your building. Before I do that, let me back up. Your building has been certified historically, has it not?
Yes.
By the Pennsylvania Museum Commission?
Yes.
We found that recently that it had been mis-indexed under your father's name, but that is the historical certification of the building, which was awarded by the Museum Commission in September 17th of 1973. Uh-huh. You currently also have an application pending.
Is that one of the documents you handed out?
Yes, that is one of the documents.
Do you plan to make this document an exhibit to the record?
Yes, please.
Can we have it marked as an Acting Still 8?
Yes. You currently have an application pending for National Historic certification, too. Do you not?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's currently in progress. That's under review?
I hope so.
But it's been filed. Let's talk about what happens in front of your building when you're there at your driveway trying to get out. Can you on any given day get out of that driveway?
Obviously, I do get out, but I have to sit there and wait. Because if there's four cars...
Can we go back to overhead picture?
That one, Mr. Chris?
Number 60, yes. Can you make a left turn out of your driveway?
Usually, never.
Okay. You want to get in?
I don't even try.
If you want to get in, you come up Fishburne and make a right turn in?
Yes.
And you have to make a right turn out?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you what we have prepared as... again, I'm going to mark this as an exhibit. Fishburne Average Daily Calculator Car Count. It's a two-page document.
Let's mark that as back to stone 9, please.
Okay. According to the TIS's file and their record, they're saying the average daily car count on Fishburne Road currently is 11,300 cars. Mm-hmm. We did some calculations, you and I, did we not?
Yeah, we did.
So, 11,300 times two ways, so for just northbound only, would be 5,650 cars a day going northbound. Mm-hmm. 24 hours a day would mean you get 235 cars per hour. Mm-hmm. That's 24 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. 60 minutes a day, so you're getting four cars at least per minute going by your building as it currently exists. Mm-hmm. And that's just northbound. That's not even that's the same amount going southbound. Mm-hmm. Next page. A little bit of, we also did calculations. These numbers are based upon the numbers in the TIS, correct? Okay, we got it. That's where we got this. So it was total trips. You divide that by two is how many cars a day would be 207,430 cars, basically in and out of that center between the three entrances, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I have slide 62. So.
And for the sake of the record, this has been entered as Exhibit Backus 2.
All right. That's Exhibit Backus 2. Because you can only go southbound out of Pork Chop, the only other way that you can exit from this proposed development is the one exit, the full, what they call the full movement exit at the bottom, correct?
Correct.
So if people want to go east to Palmyra, they've got to come over this way. So what we did is we took the total trips divided by two and said 25% of them would go eastbound. You got 4 points of the compass, right? North, south, east, and west. But if you want to come out of here and go anywhere but southbound, you want to go north, east, or west, you all got to come out of one spot. So you either got to go here and go west, or here and go east, or if northbound, you can go either way. But most people are going to go Hershey are going to go this way, right? Into downtown Hershey? So they're going to go in front of your building as well. So we figured that another 686 cars are going to be going on top of what already goes by every day on your building. That,
yeah.
That's what we figured, right?
Yeah.
Can you handle the traffic you've got now?
Not very well.
Can you add, if you add another 686 cars in the right-hand lane, want to make a right turn to Palmyra, which is right where your driveway is?
I'll be sitting there a while.
Let's talk about the pictures, the exhibit that we have, which includes some of the pictures. Let's talk about what these are and what these show.
Mr. Chris, are you looking at what you handed up as Exhibit A?
Yes.
And
that package would be a whole exhibit.
You want to make that, so even though you're divided up into Exhibit A,
it's got parts to it, yes.
It's part to it. You just want it marked all as Backus 10?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, if you can just refer to the page number within the exhibit when you talk about a certain page.
All right. We're going to go through some of the pictures on that. You have your copy that I gave you? And you and I went out and took pictures.
Uh-huh. Yes, we did.
I did the camera and you were
pointing
where to go. Yeah. All right. And for the record, we took some of these pictures, majority of them, on Friday, March 25th, 2022, between the hours of 11 and 11:45 a.m.
Yes.
And we did this because it's an average day in which we didn't have tourists. Kids were in school, was an average non-crisis time or day?
Yes.
Okay. Just, could I have picture number, slide number 3? I'm going to run the slides here. Picture slides.
This is page 3 of exhibit. B10, or Backus 10.
Yes. This is what it looks like on a Friday morning, right after the traffic light has turned green and cleared the traffic. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Ms. Backus, so you have to say yes.
Oh, yes.
For the court report. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next picture, which would be number 4, slide number 4 on your, which would be the next pic, next one on the group of pictures.
It's not slide 4.
What?
It's not slide 4.
Try again. Slide four.
There we go.
That's it. Okay. Light turned red. Less than 1 minute later, and that's what your driveway looks like, right?
Yes.
All right. Next picture, which would be slide number five.
This is page five.
Page five. This again was taken at the same time, Friday morning. We let the stoplight clear so we could get a picture of what the roadway looked like. That's your building right there, right?
Yes.
In the corner, upper left-hand corner.
Yes.
Ah. Just to show that, what is that street that comes in here?
Elm.
Ah. This is what it looks like, again, once the traffic is cleared for the stoplight.
What road are we looking at here?
This is Governor Road, 322.
Thank you.
Next picture, which would be this is looking from in front of the Masonic Lodge, looking eastbound from that side. Again, just to give an idea of what the road looks like.
Ms. Batistow, could you testify as to what road we're looking at?
That is Governor Road, 322, looking eastbound.
Thank you. And this is page six, right, Mr. Christ?
Pardon me?
It's page six in your packet.
Yes. All right. The next page in my packet. Next picture. This is what happens as soon as the stoplight starts. Traffic immediately backs up, correct?
Yes.
This again is an average day.
Yes.
As soon as the stoplight turns red, the traffic immediately backs up. Next.
Ms. Batistow, once again, what road, what direction?
That is Governor Road going west.
Thank you.
Next slide. Next picture. This is slide number eight. What are we looking at here?
That is Governor Road going west.
No.
Yeah, it's traveling west.
The cars are traveling west, but we're looking at what direction.
We're looking east, but the traffic's going west.
So as soon as the stoplight turns red, within a minute, the traffic backs up and blocks Elm Avenue.
Yes, it does. All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All right. Next picture on my list. And these got out of order for Chuck's slides. But this would be slide number 53. They picked up. Next one. No, that. We'll get back to that one. Slide 54. Down two, Chuck. Slide 54A. Below that is slide 54. Okay. All right. This is what this looks like when light hits your, turns red in front of your building, correct?
Yes.
Notice how many cars there are to where your entrance in your building. That's four cars, right?
Yeah, now they're going straight.
They're going straight.
They're going straight.
I always use 18 feet per car, not 25, Mr. Stumpman, because I think that's a little closer figure. If you've got 14 cars, it comes to 72 feet, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So it gets right where your driveway is. You've got four cars before your driveway is blocked off.
Yes.
That's all you ever get.
Yeah. Yes.
Ms. Backus, once again, street and direction.
The street and direction. That is Fishburne Road, traveling north.
And this is, I think, marked as page 8A in your packet, Mr. Christ?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next picture, which would be the one you skipped over, truck 54A. I got them out of. At the corner of your light, there is a problem, is there not?
Yes.
What is that problem?
Frequently, you are, well, I'm usually making a right hand turn out and then a right hand turn going to 322 on Governor Road. And frequently, can't get out of my driveway right away. It takes a while to get out, going right. Can't never go left. Never, ever, ever go left. So.
They have a separate stoplight with a right turn signal indicating it's for that lane.
Yes, they do.
Do people get confused and think they can't make a right turn on red because there's a separate light there?
Yes, they do.
So
it blocks
up and you can't get out of your driveway.
Correct. Yes.
How often does that happen?
Well, often enough, maybe once every day.
People are allowed to make a right turn on red, but they just don't understand when there's a separate light and it says what right turn signal, they think it's red, they can't do anything, right?
Yes.
Back up. Next picture would be, next exhibit picture would be 55. This is across the street from your property, is it not?
Yes.
And the sign is the end of where the roadway, you see there, white marking?
Yes.
That's where the road divides for the right turn lane, correct?
Yes.
And that's where the sign is?
Yes.
How far is it from the corner of Governor and Fishburne to that sign?
75 feet.
No, it's your driveway.
Oh,
that was.
Oh, so that sign? Is it,
I think he has to let the witness provide the answer. You can't disagree with your witness.
Mr. Chris, you can refresh your witness's recollection, but you really shouldn't be arguing with your witness.
It's about 110 feet to there. You and I were there when we measured.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah. We actually took a tape. We didn't do a look in a book and put it in a computer. We actually got a tape measure out and measured it.
Yes.
So we really wanted to know what it was.
Yeah.
So it's 110 feet to the side. So that's what you got for a right turn lane.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. That's what it looks like from the side.
Ms. Backenstow?
Yes.
What road are we looking at?
You're looking at Fishburne.
Face going south?
It's facing south, yeah.
And Mr. Chris, this is page 8C
yes.
in your packet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next picture, which would be 56. That's what it looks like from your driveway. Going south, is it not?
Yes.
We've determined that you're 75 feet to your driveway, and it's 110 feet to the back of that sign, right?
Yes.
Do you know how many cars that is total from the stoplight that you can get to where it breaks there at the sign?
Tops would be five.
So, yeah.
Five or six, maybe?
Yeah. That's what you get.
Yeah.
So if they want to put anything more than that, they got to widen Fishburne Road there, don't they? Take everybody's front of their house out and take it out to be able to put a wider right turn lane, correct?
That would be correct, because there's no other way.
No other way. The plan does not provide for them to widen Fishburne Road at this spot, does it not?
I'm not sure.
They haven't proposed to widen Fishburne Road on the right turn lane. Extend the right turn lane.
Okay, no.
So where are that additional 686 cars that are going to come out of the shopping center going to go if they want to get in the right turn lane?
Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
They're going to be backed up.
Right now, when there's a problem at the light, where do the people who want to turn right on Fishburne Road, I'm from Fishburne on to Governor, go? They stay in the middle lane or they go somewhere?
They stay in the middle lane and wait till they can go into the right-hand lane.
So there, a lot of the people that are in the middle lane are actually waiting to make a turn on the right.
That's correct, yes.
Does that cause problems for
Yes.
you?
And Mr. Chris, this is page 8D as in David?
Yes. During the time that you drove up in this area and they put in the Hershey Medical Center and they put in all the clinics, has there been any widening of Fishburne Road or any improvements to it?
No.
How about Sandhill Road?
No.
How about Cherry Drive?
No.
So what we have today is a traffic problem that's been accumulated over many years.
Yes.
And they propose to add a stoplight and cut off people's access or impair their rights to driveways along Fishburne Road. That's part of the application, including your property, correct?
Yes.
Just for the record, Exhibit B in my packet is a memorandum of understanding between the Pennsylvania Historic Preservation Office and PennDOT regarding historic buildings. You understand that your building now, because it's been registered with the Commonwealth, is protected?
Yes.
Under that memorandum?
Yes.
PennDOT may not do anything which is going to affect your access or impair your ability to enter your property.
Yes.
I have nothing further at this time. Respect.
Thank you. I just have a couple questions. Good evening.
Good evening.
As I understand from your testimony, your educational background and professional experience appears to be in the field of nursing and psychiatric nursing, and then there was an additional degree I did not.
Family systems theory and family psychotherapy.
And I don't mean for this to sound disrespectful, but that background and experience that you have, I didn't hear any background or experience as it related to the field of traffic engineering. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You've presented an exhibit that's been marked as back in STOS 9
that has average daily car calculations and right turn queue calculations. Is this a document that you prepared?
No.
Someone prepared this for you?
Mr. Chris prepared it.
Okay. So you didn't do any of the calculations or any of the car counts or anything that's represented on this exhibit?
That is correct.
And we saw a number of photographs that are included within what has been marked as Backus Dose 10. And in terms of the existing condition on Fishburne Road in front of your property, and let me take one step back. The only driveway access to your property from a road is from Fishburne Road, correct?
Yes.
There's no access from Governor Road to the property line from Fishburne Road. And in looking at all of these photos, it seems apparent that there are currently three different northbound lanes on Fishburne Road in front of your property. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we have a right turn lane, a through lane, and a left turn lane, correct?
Yes.
And I think I heard your testimony when Mr. Kress asked if you are able to turn left out of your driveway onto Fishburne Road to head south. And I believe your response was that you're unable to turn left out of your driveway. Is that correct?
That is correct because there's usually traffic there, so I choose to turn right and go around and then go to whatever direction I'm going into.
Okay.
Now, that's not 100% of the time. There might be a time when it's actually my ability to turn left, but I might not be turning left at that time.
But your ability to make that left turn movement is impacted by the three lanes that are currently located
yes.
in front of your property and the traffic that would be in those
yes.
lanes?
Yes.
How about if you were coming south through the intersection of Governor Road and Fishburne and wanted to turn left into your driveway? Again, you'd have to cross those three existing lanes, is that correct?
Yes.
And are you able to make that turn movement, or is that a turning movement that you're effectively prevented from making, giving the three existing lanes?
It's very difficult to make that, and what you do is you're stopping it with your left-hand turn on, you're backing up traffic onto 322 behind you. So when I'm coming to my office in the morning, I frequently go down Coco, turn right on Fishburne, and then go up and do a right-hand turn. Now, I'm not going to say that's 100%. Every once in a while, I can go in and turn left. But I choose not to back up the traffic onto Fishburne. I mean, onto 322.
And you mentioned, I believe, that you have a professional practice in the office building currently, as well as some tenants that are in the building?
Yes.
And are there any instructions that either you or the other tenants provide to people who may be visiting the building in terms of how best to get in and out of the driveway?
I do.
And what are the instructions that you provide?
The instructions are that it's much better to come around and go do a right-hand turn into the parking lot. You can do a left-hand turn, but it might take a little bit of time. And the same way when you're leaving. When you're leaving, it's much better to leave with a right turn out.
And the photographs that are included within Exhibit Backus Dose 10, and I guess included as Exhibit A within that exhibit, it's my understanding from the exhibit that those were taken in March of last year. Is that correct?
I'm thinking that that is correct.
If I show you this, where it says taken date Friday, March 25,
yes, yes.
2022. Is that?
Yes. Yes.
Accurate?
Yes.
Correct. I guess my question is, why were you taking pictures of the roadway in March of last year?
Well, we've been doing this kind of thing for a long time.
What do you mean by doing this kind of thing?
Well, these meetings and talking about the widening of
If I might respond to that.
No, I'd like to respond to that.
Well, there's a possibility that that's the wrong date. I don't know. Is that the wrong date?
No, that's the right date.
Okay. I mean, we've been coming to these meetings for quite some time talking about this situation on Fishburne and 323.
By meetings, do you mean just general meetings on this application?
Well, the township supervisor meetings.
For the application that we're here for tonight?
Yes.
And you realize that the first hearing was in September of 2022?
Maybe so, but we've been talking about it for a long time.
Okay. And is my understanding correct that you were not the one who took those photographs, that they were taken by Mr. Crist?
They were taken by Mr. Crist.
And were you with Mr. Crist when the photos were taken?
Yes.
And whose idea was it to take the photographs?
I think both of ours. You know, I can't remember, you know, a year and a half ago, probably exactly what was said at the time.
Okay. Those are all the questions that I have.
Mr. McNair.
Just briefly. Mr. Backenstow, do you have any concerns about adverse impacts on the business itself related to the traffic that you just described?
Yes.
Can you describe what you foresee happening as a result of this proposal?
I could see that it would be difficult for individuals or families to get in and out of the parking lot. I have an ample parking lot in the back, and access to the building is easy from the parking lot. But and I tell people, I do advise people, you know, please come up Fishburne and turn right into the parking lot. It's much, much easier than turning left over across three lanes of traffic, you know. So, I mean, somebody might choose not to do that. They don't tell me if they choose not to do that, but, you know. It's a hassle.
Okay. So my question goes to, if this development were to be constructed, do you have an expectation as to additional adverse impacts as a result of the development?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell the board what you feel those are?
Well, I think the increase in car traffic is going to be horrendous. You know, I think so.
Okay, and how would that impact your business specifically?
Traffic jams on Fishburne, that traffic jams on the 322.
All right, those are all the questions I have.
Thank you. Mr. Getz?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Thank you. Mr. Winter?
No questions.
Thank you. Ms. Means?
No questions.
Mr. Miller?
No questions.
Ms. Newell?
No questions.
Ms. Newman. I knew I was Ms. Greenberg. Yeah. Sorry, Ms. Newman. Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Thank you. Mr. Chris, do you have any follow-ups?
Redirect. Mary?
Oh, sorry. Yes, it's too late. Board questions.
What? Board questions. Go ahead.
Yes. So, Ms. Backenstow, thank you for testifying. I just have a couple of questions. You were present in the room this evening when the township engineer, Mr. Skunk, testified.
Yes.
Is that correct? And you recall on the screen, I specifically, during his redirect, there was an exhibit that we looked at, which was a queue summary of two different intersections at different times of day. Do you recall that exhibit?
Yes.
All right. In fact, I questioned him about that exhibit as well. Do you recall when I asked him about whether those were projections or actual counts?
Yes.
Approximately how much time do you spend in your building, the building at the corner of Fishburne and Governor, per day during the week?
Usually around 6 to 8 hours, sometimes longer than that, 5 days a week, so I'm there Saturday mornings frequently too.
Based on your presence at that location during the time you just described, have you had the occasion to observe traffic as it builds on Governor Road heading eastbound, generally between the times between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. on a weekday?
Yes.
All right, and can you explain for us or describe for us what that traffic looks like. How does it, how much traffic is at that, is on Governor Road at that time of the day?
A lot. And seriously, all the lanes are filled. I look out the windows quite frequently, upper windows and the lower windows, and I see the traffic on 322 and the traffic on Fishburne. And it is usually really pretty jammed up.
And you heard Mr. Stump's testimony about the amount of, I'm afraid the term I'm going to use, the load or the... The storage in the lanes on 322. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes.
All right. Based on your observations of traffic in the late afternoon during the weekday, does what you have observed comport with Mr. Stump's testimony or that cue summary?
Well, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I do know that the traffic is very heavy. All the lanes are filled, and sometimes it's backed up past the light at Cherry Drive and on up that little hill towards the medical center. And I usually try very hard not to have to leave during that period of time because it's usually jammed up all over the place.
And then similarly, you had an opportunity from your business location to observe the traffic as it is traveling northbound on Fishburne towards the intersection of Governor in the morning between approximately 7 a.m. and 8:30 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Can you describe for us again? Please say yes or no just so the record is clear.
Yes.
Because it'll look like the uh-huh could look like a no later on, right? So you're saying yes to that question?
Yes.
You've had an opportunity to observe it. And can you describe for us what you've observed in terms of the traffic at that location that time?
It's very heavy, and you have to be prepared to spend several minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes, getting to where you're going. Because you never know how much, you know, traffic is going to be ahead of you. So it's you have to plan on that when you're trying to get to the office on time.
And so if the queue summary...
How far back from the intersection at Fishburne and Governor does it go back on Fishburne?
I would say past Cocoa and down towards the church that's there sometimes. It is really, I mean, it's heavy on Fishburne.
So the queue summary that Mr. Stump took us through indicated that there was extra room on Fishburne Road, in that lane, in that northbound lane, between 7 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. in the morning. Would you agree with that opinion?
No.
You talked about leaving and entering your parking lot. You talked about your feelings about not wanting to back up traffic. And you also talked that you've told us there are other people that work in your building and there are visitors to the building, correct?
Yes.
Is your concern simply when you give people instructions about how to enter and exit your driveway, is your concern simply about not backing up traffic or is your concern about their safety?
Both.
All right, thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Any other board questions? I have no questions. Now, Mr.
Direct. Mary, do you recall the reason why the pictures were taken on March 25th of 2022? This is not the first...
Ma'am, you have to answer yes or no.
No, I do not.
This is not the first conditional use application that the Little O filed. They filed one before this, did they not?
Yes.
And that was in March of 2022 when that was withdrawn.
Yes.
This was prepared for that initial filing. Nothing further.
Mr. Strong, any follow-up redirect?
No.
Mr. McNair?
No questions.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Mr. Winter?
No questions.
Ms. Means?
No questions.
Mr. Miller? Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Board? Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Excuse. Mr. Chris, do you have any further witnesses?
I would like to testify. It's a certain things in here that I prepared that she was not involved with.
Mr. Strong, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I would object to Mr. Chris acting as a fact witness in this matter when he's representing a client.
Yeah, and Mr. Chris, you didn't enter yourself as a party, correct?
No, I did not enter myself as a party.
I don't think it's appropriate for an attorney to testify as a witness. Anything else, sir?
That's all.
Okay. I think that being said, we'll see if we can get through. Mr. Guest, are you going to call any witnesses?
I'm not calling any witnesses, and I'm not going to testify, but if you have an exhibit to offer into evidence, and I believe since it's from the recorder deeds office, you can accept it. Okay. This is simply a copy of, and I've marked it FSC3.
Yeah.
It's a copy of the deed by which my client owns the property. For information demonstrating that we do, in fact, have proper standing, and also the statement of value at the back of it will show you what the purchase price is that we paid for the building. And I understand that there is no immediate plan to drive to demolish our building, but it is an exhibit submitted by the applicant, so we just want the court to understand the substantial investment that we have and the investment that in fact expectation that we would be allowed to operate our business with the Mr. Greenberg client as our tenant.
Thank you. Mr. Strong, do you have any objections to this?
I do not.
Mr. McNair?
I have no objection.
Mr. Greenberg?
No objection.
Mr. Winter?
No objection.
Mr. Chris?
No.
Thank you.
I want to move my exhibits that we did here today into evidence, if I haven't done that already.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Strong? We have exhibits, I think, back in, is it Stowe or Stowe?
Stowe. S-T-O-S-E.
Okay, back in Stowe. So if I mispronounced it, I apologize. Back in Stowe 8, 9, and 10.
So it's back in Stowe 8 is a copy of a letter from 1973, is that?
Correct.
I don't know that if we had any testimony about where this came from.
I believe there was some testimony here explaining it. It was first misfiled under her father's name, and they now subsequently found it. And I do believe she testified that, you know, as to the letter authenticating it.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't think there was much testimony to it.
So I guess I won't object to it. It can be admitted for the purpose for which it was introduced, which it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Exhibit back in Stowe's 9, I would object to this. It wasn't something that she prepared, and I don't think it's relevant. She testified that she has no training in the field of traffic engineering. We don't know where these numbers came from. So I would object to the relevance of this exhibit.
I believe it was testified to that they came from the TIS, and then they, you know, made their own calculations. I think the board will accept this exhibit, you know, and give it the weight it's due based on the fact it was not prepared by a traffic engineer.
And back in Stowe's 10, I would object to the submission of the entirety of this exhibit. We obviously walked through the photos that were Exhibit A of back in Stowe's 10. I don't have an issue with those.
Exhibit D under back to SOS 10 is this memorandum of understanding, which can stand on its own. However, I don't believe any of the other attachments were testified to, so I would object to, and it looks like those go all the way back through Exhibit G, so I would object to Exhibits C through G being admitted as part of back in SOS 10. I would not object to Exhibits A and B being admitted into the record that are part of back in SOS 10.
Mr. Chris?
Some of those exhibits that were, that was originally going to be done as a package opening up, and then I realized that what I really needed to do was to break off the second piece of that, which really became the motion, the pretrial motion that I made for conflict of interest, and that's really what most of those documents are. That was just another group. They were all put together early on. As I say, back when there was this is the second filing of a conditional use, and when I was getting ready for the first one, I put everything together and then thought the better of it, that the second portion of those documents, or most of them, were better off as a pretrial motion, and I broke them off, and they've already been admitted as part of the conflict of interest motion.
So, you don't have an issue if we admit what you term Exhibit A and Exhibit B, but not the rest of this package?
I have no objection to that.
Okay. So the board will admit as back in SOS 10, basically pages 1 through 16, or 1 through 15, and then the rest of back in SOS 10 we will not admit. Mr. Greenberg, you're done, correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Winter, are you going to? Do you intend to call a witness?
I do. It's not in 5 minutes.
No. Okay. Is it only one witness, sir?
Well, there will be my client, Mr. Blumberg, and then I'm also a party, and I think I may possibly offer some comments.
Okay. Mr. Miller, Ms. Means, are you intending to present witnesses or testify yourselves?
I'm going to testify myself.
And I will as well.
And I will not be here at the July 18th meeting, so as you promised, I would still get a chance to testify.
Well, then we'll schedule one more. So, and Ms. Newman, do you intend to present any evidence, witnesses, or testify yourself?
I would testify myself if comments are
yes
permitted. Yes, I will.
Mr. Hitchcock, any witnesses, or are you just going to testify yourself?
Just myself.
Okay. So I just to forewarn all of you, except Ms. Means, we're going to get to you, I suspect, next hearing. And so be prepared to testify. And it sounds like, Mr. Strong, do you intend to call any rebuttal witnesses at this point in time?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I'll reserve that option, but I don't believe so.
So we will set one more date at the next hearing for Ms. Means to testify to. We will also, at the July hearing, we'll probably accept public comment from the public, and we'll accept it at the August hearing. And then we will be closing up this matter at that point in time. To the parties for the August hearing, I assume it's going to be a short night. Are you going to want to provide closing arguments? I think the board, after all this time, I can forewarn you, we are going to ask for proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law from the parties before the board makes a decision. If you want to do closing arguments on top of that, be prepared to do that at August. Does that make sense? Does that work for the board?
Okay.
Okay, I'm not an attorney. What does that mean?
What that means is, so what the board has to do in making a decision, the board is the finder of fact. So we have to take all the testimony that we're gathering in these, basically, which probably be 14 hearings. We're going to have to go through it all. And obviously, there's been competing testimony. The board has to pick and choose. Not we. I don't pick and choose. The board has to pick and choose what they believe and what they don't believe. So in something, when we have extended hearings like that, it's common practice for boards to pass the parties, oh wait, you guys get first crack at it. You tell us what facts we should believe or what facts we shouldn't believe. And it, as far as the attorneys go, they also can provide, you know, legal argument, you know, what they think the law is, and then apply, give us what's called conclusions of law, which basically is applying that law to the facts and telling us, well, this is the decision you should reach based on the facts and based on the law. So that's what we will be asking you. You don't have to do it. It doesn't, it's not mandated. But it's something we probably will ask of the parties to do because it will help the board get through all of this and reach a decision.
Just one point, Mr. Counsel. Okay. Based on what you just discussed, would the transcript be provided?
No. So, if you want to, the transcript will have to be ordered, and you're going to have to order your own copies.
Right.
Yes.
But could the transcript be ordered and provided prior to having to submit the proposed findings of fact, since normally I would think you would want reference made to where and when, what page number.
Yes. Ideally, that would be the case. The board's ordered a couple of transcripts, but we have not been ordering them as it's been going along. We may, at this point in time, ask to order them, but that's the board's decision. But at this time, yeah. And yes, normally we would, if the transcripts had not been fully prepared and ordered, you normally would set a deadline based on when all those transcripts are completed to give the parties 30, 45 days to.
So we have the right to request a transcript.
Absolutely. You can do that whenever you wish.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Greenberg.
Mr. Nelson, I would ask that the board consider putting out a schedule at some point so that the applicant's proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law are submitted and served so that the objectors can respond to those proposed findings of fact.
Normally, it's a single date for all parties. I can talk to the board if they want to, you know, do something different, but my experience in doing this is almost always all the parties submit them at one time. It's more of providing, this is what we think, you should make a decision, not responding to another party's claims. But we will consider that request, sir.
Just a couple quick comments, questions. Since Ms. Means will not be available in July, is it possible that she could testify tonight? That way we could be done with her testimony. And if we were to then be done in July, then we wouldn't have to all wait until August just to have her testify.
You prepared to testify tonight?
I actually would like a little more time now, but I see how it rolls. But
how long are you planning to speak for?
Probably 15 minutes.
More than that. Set the schedule.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a 5 minute. We'll take a 5 minute break. Recess to consider this. Hold on. Okay.
Well, what we have considered it, right? If you've considered it, why don't we give? Let's give. We're going to take a 5 minute recess because we're kind of putting Mrs. Means on the spot here for a second. Let's get her a chance to get her thoughts together. So, if you're comfortable, Mrs. Means going tonight, we'll take your testimony.
I would actually look for more time.
Okay, I think that's fair, and I agree with what Mrs. Nutt thinks, which is it may not be possible to get everything done in July. We may have spillover into August, and maybe we can.
But you've got public comment, and I know I have a list of people who've asked me when it comes time for public comment to call them if they intend to show up. I've got a telephone list. So there's a bunch of people that want to come when they get to that point.
Well, I'll tell them to come in July.
Yeah. Well, is there any chance you can move the July 18th to 24th?
Or can we just schedule another one?
Could we just schedule another hearing date between the July 18th and the August 24th?
Right.
I think we tried and we could not. July 24th is no good for me. I don't think. I believe I'm away. First off, we have to see when the building's built. So, Chuck would have to put up a July.
Generally speaking, for everybody in the room, I'm going to let you coordinate this, but can you look at your calendars and see, can we do it July 31st? Testimony, we do a limited, maybe we do it for an hour so we get
means it, and maybe one other person. I mean, I'm not trying to overcomplicate this, but I don't want to just keep going every month. They can't do one a month. We can't do that. We got to wrap this up.
If we do the 31st, we just do it for testimony and public comment. And then if we need argument, we'll have to we'll do that in August.
I would agree. And my only other comment would be with respect to the transcripts. With the board requesting that all the parties, and there's so many parties, provide findings of fact and conclusions of law, I think it would make sense to be best for everyone if the township would order the transcripts and then make those available where each of the parties...
Unfortunately, we can't make them available. I do believe they're copyrighted, strictly speaking. We order them. Yeah, obviously, then you only have to pay for copy charges. You don't have to pay for the preparation charges, so it is cheaper. But I don't think we can order them and then make photocopies and hand them out.
And that's okay. I'm certainly not. I wasn't suggesting taking bread off your plate. But if the township were to order the transcripts, then anyone who wanted a copy would be able to obtain copies. But I think if the township were to order them, then they would be available for everyone who wanted to then pay the cost.
Okay. Well, I have to discuss that with the board because that is a sizable financial commitment, and then we'll go from there.
What about the 24th?
I'm gone. Oh. Yeah. So, Scott, if we schedule another hearing the 31st, but just for Ms. Means and for spillover of public comment. I don't think you need to be here.
Right. I wouldn't necessarily need to be present. I don't think I need to send anyone.
Yeah.
So that would be fine.
I still think you should send Terry, but get on your side. So does that work for everyone? If we do the 31st?
I'm available.
Okay. So we'll do a hearing on, we have the 18th in July and then the 31st in July.
Would Ms. Burke back in there and back there have an opportunity to cross-examine me later?
Pardon?
What if he had questions? Could he cross-examine me later, or would just have opportunity?
I think we're going to try to close the evidentiary portion of the hearing on July 31st, so that it'll be over.
So the 24th would be public comment?
Yes. No. The 18th and the 31st would be for public comment.
So we're going to hold August 24th for now. As a potential date, but hopefully finish with the 2 July.
Yeah, I think that right now we're aiming for the 24th. That will be, if the parties wish to provide legal argument, closing argument, that it'll be solely on that date. Because that, to be honest, that will take some time also.
Well, subsequent to closing argument, that's when we would then be asking for the conclusions of law and findings of fact. Based on the
yes, case. Most likely, yes.
Thank you.
Right, so everybody understand what we're doing on the 18th. We're going to just pick up with folks that are here that are going to introduce testimony or call witnesses, etc. We're going to continue on. We'll finish that meeting. It'll be a three-hour meeting. Then we go to the 31st. Ms. Means is going to do is provide her testimony. And then after that, Mr. Chris, so you know, the 31st, we'll begin, I don't know if we'll have time on the 24th to get the public comment, but we will get the comment either on, I'm sorry, the 18th or the 31st.
Well, I have had several people ask me to give them a call when they were getting to, whatever the public comment date was going to be, and let them know, and I have a list of phone numbers, so... Is there going to be a
you
specific
can let them know
for that?
What you should tell them is they should show up on the 18th, but we may not get the public. And if we get the public comment, we'll start the process.
Okay.
Whatever spillover is will be held on the 31st after Mrs. Mead's testimony. Okay, so our goal here is to get public comment and all witness testimony done by the 31st of July. Right, and then that'll give the lawyers and the parties representing themselves an opportunity to prepare their closing arguments for the August meeting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does everybody understand? Because I don't want anybody to be confused, because it is confusing. Mr. Newman?
The closing argument is going to be, but we're not going to have a transcript yet for the closing argument, right?
I can't guarantee that. You may or you may not.
And then after the closing argument, that's when you want findings of fact and conclusions of law.
If the board decides to do that, yes.
Okay.
Mrs. Newman.
Yes. I will be afforded time to talk after Mrs. Mays. Is that correct?
You'll be given time to talk either on July 18th or on July 31st.
Okay.
One of those two nights, yes.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. Everybody then? We're all on the same page? Not if not, okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned. Have a good night.